open up your minds, and let us receive the gift of Pastor Roderick Richardson.
Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Hey, man, I'm going to pray so you can be seated. You've been standing long enough. I have 3 service feet. You probably only have a half of a service foot. So I can understand that many of you say, I can't wait to sit down in my seat. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for all that has gone forth today, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus that the spirit of excellence would be prevalent in this place, God. I thank you right now, Father God, that your word will go forth, God, and it shall penetrate someone, God, that someone may be convicted, someone may be challenged, someone may be strengthened. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that all hearts are open and minds are open to hear the word of God. I bind any distraction, God, that may hinder the word of God. God, we honor you. We thank you. I pray that this word will be seed planted in somebody's heart, that it may take fruit in action. God, we honor you today, and we love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. It is in the matchless name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Just indulge me for 1 second as we go over the text scripture, and then you may be seated. Amen. In Daniel 6, chapter 6, starting at verse 1, Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read from the New King James Version today. The Bible says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these governors of whom Daniel was one, that one satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. The Bible goes on to say in the last verse, so the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. I want you real quick, just nudge your neighbor and tell him, I'm walking in excellence. That's the wrong neighbor. Turn to the other neighbor, because they wasn't really paying attention. So turn to that and say, I'm walking in excellence. And you may be seated. I have the precious privilege of presenting to you in the form of preaching presentation. If you're using a topic, for all of those note takers, I want you to write down an excellent spirit. I am charged with speaking not just to those who were installed today, but each and every person in the room. In fact, I'm speaking on a topic that you rarely hear about, that you rarely hear ministers, pastors, preachers, and the other fivefold gifts speak about. I'm speaking on the topic of excellence. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am excited to tackle this pregnant text. Allow me to get straight to the point. You are too anointed to be average. You're too radical to be just regular, and you are too great to be just good. You have been called to set it off. You are too gifted to be ordinary and to live haphazardly, meandering through mediocrity. I need to make a declaration today. This day, average is no longer an option. Average is no longer an option. The days of you living below the capacity of your potential is over. And if you're going to accomplish purpose, I want you to understand this. You must be a good steward of your potential. Your ability, I'm getting ready to say something, and if you can capture it. Your ability to accomplish purpose is welded with your willingness to walk in excellence. I'll say that again for you note takers. Your ability to accomplish God's purpose for your life is welded to the willingness to you operating in excellence. So in this text, we have a young man named Daniel. Daniel is known as a prophet, but Daniel's life, it actually paints a picture. It paints a picture of how to trust God when life situation lands you in the lion's den. Pictures are more powerful than prophecies, because your life always sounds louder than your lips. See, purpose is not just about what you say, it's about what you do and who you are. So Daniel's life, it paints a picture. And so as we tiptoe through
through this text, I see something that enabled him to accomplish God's given purpose to his life. It wasn't his gifts. In fact, it wasn't his charismata, as we say in the Greek. There was something that empowered him and enabled him to accomplish his purpose. It was his excellence. It was his excellence. And I need you to catch this. Daniel, he worked for a king named Darius. Darius sets up this infrastructure to ensure that his kingdom operates efficiently and effectively. He had 120 administrators, and then he set these governors or these overseers over these administrators. Let me stop and parenthetically speak. Notice how he set up an infrastructure in order for his kingdom to operate efficiently. Do you realize that God has given you a particular kingdom to dominate? In Genesis, he wants us to dominate. He's given you a kingdom, but in order for the kingdom that God has given you, you have to set some order in your life. Do you realize that when God created Adam and Eve, he created Adam, and the Bible says he placed them in the garden. The garden is a set structure of shrubs and trees and flowers and plants. In other words, the first thing that man was exposed to was order. So in order for the kingdom that God has given you to operate efficiently, you have to have order. Somebody say order. Each administrator was responsible for overseeing at least 40 governor was responsible for overseeing at least 40 of these administrators. Daniel was one of these administrators, but the Bible said something different. The Bible or the text says this: he was distinguished because he had an excellent spirit in him. The spirit of excellence is the spirit of God. The spirit of excellence is the spirit of God. How do you know, Pastor? God's spirit is the spirit of excellence because God's spirit, it empowers us to excel. I'm going to say that again. God is the spirit of excellence because God's spirit empowers us to excel. See, in other words, you don't need the Holy Spirit if you're going to just stay average. See, if you want to stay mediocre, then you don't need the Holy Spirit. If you want to accomplish the extraordinary, live a peculiar, a distinct life, then you need to draw from a power source that's greater than yourself. That power source is Holy Spirit. Are you following me? When you look at the life of Jesus, he excelled. People didn't climb trees to see just an ordinary man. A woman didn't press through a crowd to risk everything that she had just to see an ordinary man. Oh, I need y'all to stick with me today. Four men didn't carry a friend and raise the roof to lift them down just to see an ordinary man. People didn't follow Jesus far and wide in the heat, many times under the duress of being hungry, just to see an ordinary man. Jesus was extraordinary. He was able to do extraordinary feats because he leaned on a power that helped him excel. Now, I need you to catch this. So much so that when he got ready to leave his disciples, the Bible indicated that his disciples got depressed. He said, don't get depressed because it's going to be to your advantage that I leave you, because I'm leaving you with someone, an asset that others will not possess, that's going to help you excel even in my absence. He's talking about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of excellence. I know this because Psalms 8:1 and stanza 1, it says this in the New King James Version. It says, oh Lord, how excellent is your name. Are you following me? I'm getting ready to break something down. God is excellent. Somebody say God is excellent. God is excellent in his person, that's who he is. God is excellent in his performance, that's what he does. We serve an excellent God. How many of y'all know that today? See, whenever he does anything, he does it in a way to let you know that it's him. When God does something, he leaves evidence all over the scene to let you know that I've been there. In fact, if you stop and look at your own life, you'd realize that God has been evident in your life. In fact, you wouldn't have survived the hell you've been through had it not been for God leaving his fingerprint in your life. In fact, many of the doors that have opened for you, we're not that smart, we're not that bright, had it not been for God's favor and him leaving his fingerprint in your life. When I look back over my life, there are things that I survived. I knew it was God. I knew that it was God walking with me even when I did not sense his presence. And so many of us, we need to recognize that God, many times, he leaves his fingerprint. He leaves the evidence all in our life. God is committed to excellence. He's committed to excellence that when he does something, he makes sure that it's excellent before he finishes it. The Bible says he created Adam. He looked at Adam and said, man, it is not good that man should be alone. And so he created him a helpmeet, because good is not enough with God. If good, watch this now, good is not enough, but it's better is out there. See, let me tell you, this is my motto. Good is all right, but if better is out there, good is not enough. He looked at Adam and said, oh, it's good, but better is out there. So he created his helpmeet. Let's thank God for the helpmeet in the form of Pastor Ashley Thomas. Because he's going to need her, amen. The spirit, watch this, the spirit that was on Daniel was the spirit of excellence, and it rested upon Daniel. God's spirit, it aids us. I need you to catch this. It aids and it assists us in doing the best we can with the resources we have available. God's spirit aids and assists us in doing the best we can with the resources that we have available. See, when you don't do so, you become a poor steward over what God has given us. We live in what we call a cut corner society. I'm getting ready to step on somebody's toes here. How many ever been to college? Ooh, y'all got some edumacated folk in here. You got some degrees in here. Well, we've been conditioned to try to get maximum results with minimum effort. And we saw this especially in school. Now we skated through school. I did some of that in some of my degrees too. Amen. I barely studied and still was able to get an A. I put about 20%, 25% effort in and still was able to get a great grade. And so that worked in school, but that doesn't work in life. See, you can fool the boss, you can fool the professor, you can fool your spouse, but you can't fool God, because God is the one that gave you your potential. So he knows what you're capable of. He knows when you do half-hearted services. See, so you're so good that you go to work and you do your job on 25% effort. You come to church and you serve 45% effort. What would happen if you serve or you gave God your all in everything that you did? You'd be excellent in everything that you do. You'll be an excellent spouse. You'll be an excellent sibling. You'll be an excellent husband. You'll be an excellent business person. But understand this, you do in 45 minutes what it take your coworkers to do an entire day. So you got to stretch out your work just to make it like you're doing something, just to make it like you're busy. Okay, I think I'm talking to somebody over here, amen. Over here, they hadn't got me yet, but I'm coming down your aisle just in a minute, amen. So that works on your job, but not in purpose. Jesus' purpose led him to a cross that required him to be stretched. Jesus' purpose led him to a cross that it required him to be stretched. If you're not stretched, you may not be in purpose. Purpose will challenge you, because purpose will stretch you. And if you hadn't been thinking about quitting, you may not be in purpose. Because if it's too easy, that means that you're probably, watch this now, you're probably in a field or you're probably doing something that's not in purpose, because purpose requires you to lean on a power source that's greater than yourself. I'm getting ready to say something. The text says it was an excellent spirit that distinguished Daniel. Why was he distinguished? Because he was excellent. Why was he above the rest? Because he was excellent. Why did the king show him favor? Because he was, okay, I just need to see if y'all paying attention. Excellence is a favor magnet. Excellence pulls favor in your direction. I need you to really catch this. The importance of excellence in accomplishing what God has called you to do is often overlooked. Why? Because we're in a culture that focuses on gifts only. We're so gift-oriented. We think our gifts distinguish us, but the text doesn't say his gift distinguished Daniel. See, there are people who don't take advantage of God-ordained rooms, not because they don't have gifts, it's because they don't have excellence. Somebody say excellence. See, people want your gift, but they just simply don't want you. So there are times, come on now, let me tell the truth and shame the devil. There are times when I deal with a lower level gift that I can depend on than really try to depend on somebody who's extremely gifted that I don't know if they're going to come through or not. See, Romans 11:29, I need you to catch this. It says the gifts of God are unrevocable. The one translation says they're without repentance, meaning that God won't give you a gift and then take it back. So once God gives you a gift, he doesn't take it back. So the enemy can't take your gift, but what he can do is he can make your gift ineffective by causing you to not operate in excellence. Let me make it rich. Somebody say make it rich. Where there's a lack of excellence, you place a limitation of God of who he can use you to help. The only people who will tolerate the lack of excellence are people who live that way. You got a gift that's amazing, but there are other areas that need to be addressed. So I can't let your gift take you to a room because unaddressed areas won't keep you there. Great restaurants many times don't close because of the lack of a cooking gift. Great creatives don't. There are many great creatives, graphic designers, and web developers that are sitting at home without jobs, not because of the lack of a creative gift. There are some of the greatest speakers who are not being invited anywhere, not because of the absence of a speaking gift. See, pride won't allow us to see many times our deficiencies that are in our life. So what we'll do is, what we need to do when we're exposed to those areas, or when we allow the Holy Spirit to expose those areas of deficiency in our life, what we do is we need to partner with somebody who have strengths in areas in which we have weaknesses. But if you're selfish, you won't partner. You'll try to do it all yourself. And so you'll rather let it fail rather than partner with somebody who got strengths in areas in which you have weaknesses. Can I keep going? I won't be before you long, amen. I won't get Baptist on you. He gave me 30 minutes. He said, look. He said, this ain't your church. You got 30 minutes, Doc. Make it rich in 30 minutes. So I'm on my first closing. You have to make a commitment to pursue excellence. I want to give you some benefits of walking in excellence, and I'm going to break them down, and I want you to really not point at your neighbor, but I want you to really think cognitively about how these things impact you. Amen. The first benefit of operating in excellence, I need you to hear this, because this can apply to your career, it can apply to your marriage, it can apply to your ministry, it can apply to, these are principles. The first benefit of walking in excellence is benefit of promotion. Now, when you hear promotion, you have to think about job. No, that's the lowest level of promotion. I'm talking about promotion in life. In life. See, job promotion is the lowest form of promotion. I'm talking about promotion of my resources, promotion of my marriage, promotion of my mind cognitively, where I can think about stuff that other people can't even conceive. Amen. Excellence moved Daniel from his place to his position. I need you to catch this. See, excellence moved Daniel from his place to his position. Just because somebody is on the team, Pastor Vince, don't mean they're playing their position. See, don't just put me on a team, put me in position. See, favor will get you on a team, but excellence will put you in a position. Somebody say, make it rich. Daniel was on a team. He had a place, but then he was promoted to the governor. Then the king started thinking about putting him over everything. That was his position. David started off working for a man named Saul as an armor bearer. See, that was his place, but then he ended up running everything. That was his position. Joseph started off working for a man named Potiphar. That was his place. But he ended up being second in charge behind Pharaoh over a whole nation. That was his position. Understand that God will take you from a place to a position. Tell your neighbor, get in position. Get in position. In other words, you may be working for a company you're supposed to be owning. God, y'all not ready over here. Let me talk to y'all over here. Yeah. See, because that's your position. See, right now you're in place, and so you're in temporary purpose, and so you need to be able to fulfill your purpose by getting the position that God has called you to be. I'm getting ready to say something. You can never be bigger than God wants you to be, but you can be smaller than you're supposed to be. God, y'all didn't catch that. Let me talk to y'all over here. You can never be bigger than God wants you to be, but you can be smaller than you're supposed to be. See, when you begin to operate in excellence, God will promote you to your position. Secondly, for all my note takers in here, the second benefit of excellence is the benefit of persecution. Pastor, I don't understand that. I don't get that. I don't get that. See, I can always determine my level of promotion and how I've been operating by my level of persecution. When folk begin to talk, oh, yeah, it's on now. I mean, something big is on the horizon. See, that's a benefit. The text says, now many of you know Daniel about being in the lion's den, but do you know in verse 6 is the reason why he ended up in the lion's den? When his co-workers see that he's an object of favor, they begin to persecute him. See, you don't get promotion without persecution. Oh, my God. See, your life becomes a mirror that exposes other people's lack of excellence. See, do you realize that dogs only bark at moving cars? Okay, somebody, you'll catch that later. See, your success becomes a mirror that shows them their lack of excellence. So they become upset by their own progress, and they begin to project their anger with themselves on you. You become the object of their anger when they're really the source of their own disappointment. Don't be upset with me because I'm doing what you weren't willing to do. See, the goal is you for you is to enjoy the blessing of the promotion without being infected by the poison of persecution. See, he can't stop promotion, but he uses persecution to stop you from enjoying it. So now here it is. You're in the best part of your life. You got a beautiful wife on your side. You have a handsome husband on your side. You got money in the bank. Things are going well, but you can't even enjoy it because of persecution. So he can't stop you from getting promoted, but he can stop you from enjoying it. See, you got to make a decision that this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Come on, old school saints in here, and the world can't take it away. My God. See, I won't give you the pleasure of seeing me sweat. Amen. Well, why is persecution a benefit, you ask, Pastor Rich? Because opposition is education, and he uses opposition to teach me things about him. Make it plain. David said it was good that I was afflicted. In other words, while I was going through it, it didn't feel good. It didn't sound good when I heard that they were talking about me. It didn't feel good. It didn't even look good, but he had to learn his statutes. See, I didn't know that God was teaching me until class was over, because God is the only one that can take you through class and you not even know you in class. My God. See, when you get to the other side and you look back, you say, thank you, Lord. It was good that I was afflicted, because I had to learn something about where I came from. Y'all not talking to me today. The third thing, and I don't want Pastor Vince back there tapping his watch saying, you're preaching too long. I'm not inviting you back. It gives me protection. It gives me protection. Daniel 6:4 says this. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor there was any fault found in him. Now I need you to catch this. Now the ones that didn't like him was looking for something on him, but they couldn't find it. The more they look, the Bible says, the more frustrated they got. Now, I really need you to catch this. They were looking for something on him. They could not find it. And the more they looked, the more frustrated they became. Now, everybody in here has something in their past that can destroy their future. And so the way the scripture reads, it reads as if he was perfect. But we know that perfection is the quality or state of being perfect and exemplification of supreme excellence and unsurpassable degree of accuracy. So we know that perfection is only associated with one person, and that's the name of Jesus. So my question to you is, why couldn't they find nothing on Daniel? See, when you operate in excellence, God will have them look at all the places but the right place. That means that you may have stuff on you, but they won't be able to find it. Come on now, somebody. Because God will have them look all over the place but the right place. Amen? Because when you operate in excellence, God will protect you. God will protect you. He'll make sure your enemies look in every place but the right place. Amen? Because when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. Amen? Now, this last one, I really need you to catch this. This last one. Preservation. If you keep reading the story, they use Daniel's belief against him. He operated in excellence, but he still ended up in the lion's den, which tells me something powerful. When you read the story, it says God shut the mouth of the lions, which means that they can growl, they can roar, they can make noise, but they cannot bite. Pastor, you don't understand. They talking about me. Now I'm hearing the growls and I'm hearing the roars and I'm hearing. There was something that I learned this week that was very profound. And I want to give it to you, or what have you. Our early settlers, I need you to really hear this. Our early settlers when they were building their houses and whatnot, especially for those of them who were around the mountains and stuff like that, they would often build their houses in the rocky parts of the mountain, but they would plant in the valleys because of the alluvial soil. The reason why that they did not plant, they did not live in the valley close to their plants, is because they always wanted to live above what you call the snake line. The snake line is the altitude by which snakes cannot survive. So they would build their houses because if they would build their houses in the valley, then they would expose their kids to copperheads, to rattlesnakes, and other dangerous snakes that would be in a danger to their children. So they would build their houses above an altitude. The altitude is called the snake line. And they would make sure that when they built that it was right above the snake line because the snake line couldn't go there. So that means that if you're still hearing the hisses of snakes, you're living too low. Y'all not talking to me. If you still hearing about what they got to say to you and what they got to say about you, that means you're too close to the snake line. You shouldn't be hearing hisses because God wants to take you and elevate you to a place where it doesn't matter what they got to say. I'm walking in purpose, baby, and there's nothing that can stop me. There's nothing that can rock me. There's nothing that can prevent me from accomplishing the purpose that God has placed in my life. Tell your neighbor, live above the snake line. I'm getting ready to close. Let them talk, but they, like Daniel, they won't be able to put their paws on you. Which means that what God can't protect you from, he'll preserve you in. Just take a moment to praise God on the things he's preserved you in. And you don't have to be old to know that God has preserved you in some stuff. My little daughter, she broke her foot. She could have broke her leg, could have broke her neck, but God preserved her. Come on now, somebody. God has preserved you in some stuff. And I want to tell you today to operate in excellence in everything that you do. Everything that you do, operate in excellence, because there's benefits of operating in excellence. We don't talk about this. We often talk about the gifts and the charismata, but God, he's a God of excellence. The Spirit of God is the God of excellence because that is the power that it enables you to excel in everything that you do. Always operate in excellence. Don't accept excellence. Excellence in business. When you go to restaurants, you make sure that they're operating in excellence. Because you're paying for something. You're paying for a service. When you're giving a service, make sure you're operating in excellence. Every servant, every volunteer that's in here, make sure you operate in excellence in all that you do. Stop depending on your gifts to get you by. Operate in the excellence of spirit, and favor will find you. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. I want you to connect to someone, and I want you to really listen to me right now. I chose this particular message for the simple fact is that something has to distinguish us. This is a distinguished ministry. The outlet is distinguished because of its excellence. I walked in and I see people greeting, and I see, you know, first-time guest table, and I see people hugging and talking, and it was because of excellence. I want you to bow your head. I don't want you to be distracted by those who are moving, those are the individuals who have been assigned to work, and I want you to grab the hand of the person that's next to you. I chose this message because somewhere along the line in organizations, in our life, we bypass excellence. We're the microwave generation, so we want to do everything fast. But sometimes to produce excellence, it takes a little pace. In order to produce excellence, it takes a little time. It doesn't always come fast. There are times when I go to a fast food restaurant, especially my wife, see how these crazy orders, I add extra pickles, no onions, you know, meat well done. I'm like, man, now, sir, will you please pull up? And I'm like, well, I don't really want to pull up, but you got to understand that when something is special, it don't come too fast. So if you're going to operate in excellence, it is critically important that you have or that you exercise patience. And many of you right now, you're getting frustrated because things are not happening in your life like you thought it was going to happen. Maybe it didn't grow like you thought it was going to grow. Maybe they didn't ask you to marry them like you thought that they were. Because you got to understand that what God has for you is special. And so sometimes you may have to pull up. Sometimes you may have to wait. And many times it's that way. We have to not rush it, not rush the progress. Maybe you're not where you want to be in life right now. Maybe you don't have as much money as you want to or that you desire to have in your bank account right now. Your stuff is on special order. You have to be patient. But one thing that I guarantee, because the word is replete with passages, that indicates that there's a benefit of walking in excellence. That regardless of what, regardless of the factors and the outside influences, I'm going to always walk in excellence. I'm always going to have an excellent spirit. You don't have to be big in order to be excellent. The reason we were able to draw thousands in a small city like Jackson, Mississippi, was because of an excellent spirit. You can be small and excellent, or you can be large and trashy. I choose to be whatever level that God invites me on to be excellent there. Be excellent in all that you do. I want to give you an invitation because there may be somebody here. I know this wasn't a fire and brimstone message. It wasn't convicting in the manner that provoked you in a way that convicted you in your sin. But the truth of the matter is there's somebody here to say, you know what? Man, I do need to change some stuff. I need to change some. But maybe I'm not invited. Maybe I'm not having open doors, and maybe I'm not getting contracts, and maybe I'm not getting opportunities like I know I should be because I'm extremely gifted. Could it be that you're extremely gifted, but you're not operating in excellence? There's some changes that you got to make. I want to pray with you. I want you to squeeze that person's hand if that's you. I want to pray with you.